I'm going to read now the first 14 verses of 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John 2 verses 1 to 14. We're about halfway through this particular section, not halfway through the chapter, but we're going to consider verses 7 and 8 this morning. And may God bless what I read now. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true, and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. May God bless again what you have just heard. If I was to ask you if being unbalanced was a good or a bad thing, I think most, if not all of you, would say it is not a good thing, but a bad thing, even a dangerous thing, depending on the circumstances. Unbalanced tires are not a good thing because they wear out sooner. And if my understanding is correct, the problems Boeing is facing with its 737 MAX 8 planes is a matter of balance. That is, maintaining the right balance to keep these modified 737s in the air. Or just coming down to ground level, what can happen if you lose your balance and do not recover in time? You will fall with varying effects, some life changing. So being unbalanced is not a good thing. Friends, John is not unbalanced. John is not unbalanced. He is perfectly balanced. He knows what to write and where to write it and how to write it, being infallibly guided by God the Holy Spirit. Something he reinforces in the interesting, even challenging verses I've reached in 2 John, verses 7 and 8. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now, some might be foolishly tempted to say that John is unbalanced, because in verse 7, he says he has written no new commandment to believers in Christ. Whereas in verse 8, he says he has written a new commandment. What is it, John? Have you or have you not written a new commandment to believers in Christ? How you should thank God for how he has infallibly guided John to write what he does, and writing it the way he does, because it requires you to think about what he is saying. Think about what John has written? What a novel idea. I thought all Christians did was emote, not think. Brethren, be careful, For a constant, never-ending intake of the entire Bible is essential to a healthy Christian life, but don't let the discipline of this constant intake result in you rushing over the truth of the Bible, just to say, I read the Bible through in a year. So if you are reading the Bible carefully, even just two verses, when you read John saying something that appears contradictory, John has and has not written a new commandment to the churches. Well, you know John is not unbalanced because the Holy Spirit is not unbalanced. And you know that the Holy Spirit would never move any of the many chose to write the Word of God to write something that contradicted another portion of the Word of God. Not only from Genesis to Revelation, but in the space of two verses. So what is John showing you, even before trying to show you how and why he is saying that he has not written a new commandment to you in verse 7, and he has written a new commandment to you in verse 8? John is showing you that the Bible writers can use the same words, but use them in different ways, depending on the truth they want to declare when they're using them. John is using the term new commandment in two different ways in these two verses, because he is emphasizing different truth through the use of this same term. And there are other examples of this, not only by John, but by Paul. Paul will use the Greek word translated flesh to refer to more than one thing, to our bodies, but also to that what we call remaining sin, that battle against the flesh. And sometimes it's a challenge to know what Paul is referring to. Or take, for example, another example that is often distorted, sadly, in the church. Take John's use of the word world. Right. How often is that word misused? And it ends up teaching something that was never meant to be taught. But just take, for example, John's use of the word world in one verse. John chapter 1, verse 10. In this one verse, John uses the word world three times. But with each use, he is referring to a different thing. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He uses the word world three times in just one verse, and he's using it in three different ways. He was in the world, the Roman world of that day. And the world, the entire cosmos, was made by him. And the world, that is the world of unbelieving men, knew him not. Friends, you are living in dangerous times because of the way words are twisted to mean things that they were never meant to mean by God. And how many will get into an argument and find out the reason they are arguing and not agreeing is that they are using the same word to mean something different? How many say they believe in six-day creation as long as they define the word day unbiblically? Or how many will think they are talking to a fellow believer in God just because the person they are talking to say they believe in God, never asking, what do you mean when you use the word God? So John is using the term new commandment in two different ways in these two verses. What are these two ways? Both of which show the absolute uniqueness of the biblical and saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His first use of new commandment, saying he has written no new commandment to you, is to emphasize the awesome biblical balance he has revealed in the previous verses as to the relation of justification by faith alone in the finished propitiatory sacrifice of Christ alone to the new attitude and relationship a true blood-bought saint has with the commandments of God. And I'll show that in a minute. Whereas his second use of new commandment in verse 8 is where he declares that what he has written is to show you the truth that you could never have seen this correctly without the light of God's final word to mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who rightly revealed himself as the one revealed in the law and the Psalms and the prophets, as he shows and declares to his disciples in Luke 24. He opened their understanding that they might understand the truth. See, you cannot understand the scriptures correctly. That is, you are still walking in darkness unless you see that he is the one, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, who can illuminate them and fulfill them. So first, what no new commandment is John referring to? In fact, he declares it is an old commandment that those he was writing to have heard from the beginning. Well, again, what's the context of verse 7? What precedes verse 7? Not only the truth that a believer shows that he is a true believer, knows the living and true and only God by keeping the commandments of God, but friends, what preceded this truth in this chapter? That Jesus is the propitiatory sacrifice for the sins of his elect bride. John is writing no new commandment, no new word, no new doctrine, no new teaching. That every true believer in Christ is justified by faith alone, the finished work of Christ alone, but who show their belief in that truth, that it is a true work of grace, by their changed attitude and actions towards the commandments of God. This was the truth, as I was reminded earlier that this is Reformation Sunday. That's the truth that Luther came to realize. There was justification by faith alone in the finished work of Christ alone. The Roman church had so distorted and denied this that you had men thinking you could buy your way into heaven simply by having a coin plop into a collection box. Friends, if I might refer you back to the introduction that I gave to this message and the danger of being unbalanced. All non-believers are unbalanced spiritually. All unbelievers have an unbalanced view of the law of God. They do not have a correct view of the law of God. It is not something a sinner can use to make themselves acceptable to God. One example of their being unbalanced spiritually. But it is also not something to be ignored and treated as if it was toxic. Something the deceived Dominion or antinomian thinks. Right. Whoever has my commands and obeys them does not make themselves right with me. Pure heresy. But they are giving testimony to the truth that I have made them right with myself, the only one who could have. Because what does John call the old commandment he's referring to at the end of verse 7? What does he call it? The old commandment is the word. See, here he's defining how he's using the word commandment in this verse. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. What word is he referring to? The word of the saving gospel of Christ. The saving message, Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached. What word was preached? The gospel was preached. It did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See? He was preaching justification by faith alone and the finished work of Christ alone, but as has been said, the justification by faith alone isn't alone. It results in a changed attitude and regarding the law of God. An unbalanced sinner who thinks that he can make himself right with God by what he does is not displaying saving faith, friends. Mm-hmm. They're displaying unbelief. And an unbalanced sinner who rejects and rebels against the law of God is not displaying saving faith, but unbelief. Justification before God is by faith alone in Jesus. And Jesus clearly teaches this in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. All the publican did as he faced his true condition in sin was what? Cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what did Jesus declare? This man went down to his home justified in the sight of God. This man went home justified in the sight of God. But if you were to follow that freely justified publican home, you would have found a changed man. You would have found a changed man, as seen, for example, with Zacchaeus. Remember, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I must visit with you in your house today. And then what happens afterwards? Luke 19:8-9, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. Now, is Jesus saying that Zacchaeus saved himself by doing this? No, he showed that he was saved by the fact that he was a changed man. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are what? They're a new creation. And this is what John is saying. No, I've not written to you any new commandment, but the commandment that you've had from the beginning, the word that I preached to you, the word that all the apostles preached unto the church and to the world, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But then if you've truly been saved by the Lord, it results in a changed life. This idea that is so popular in so much of evangelicalism that you can have Jesus as Savior but not as Lord is heresy. Yes. That's not in the Bible. That's not taught in the Bible, because I'll give you a classic example of this. If that idea was true, well, you can have Jesus. Well, he'll save you from your sins, but he's no longer your Lord of your life. Then Paul could have gone on persecuting the church until he got tired of persecuting the church. And he said, I'm tired of persecuting the church. Now I'll have Jesus as my Lord. It's utter heresy, friends. John is saying, brethren, I've not written any new commandment, a new teaching, that those who truly believe that Jesus is a propitiatory sacrifice for their many sins will display this faith by keeping the commandments of God. I am writing what is seen in the Gospels and throughout the New Testament. Take one of the clearest examples of this in Paul's teaching. Three verses in Ephesians chapter 2. Verses that both the lost works righteousness sinner needs to hear and believe, and the lost commandment rejecting and hating sinner need to hear as well. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what every works righteousness lost sinner in the church of Jesus Christ needs to hear and believe. But not only that. What about all those antinomians sitting there saying, well, I got Jesus as my Savior, I'm all set. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You show forth your new life by living that new life. The saving gospel of Christ restores the balance that man's fall into sin in the garden lost for all those believing alone on Jesus for acceptance with God. Truth that is brought out by John's second, but different use of new commandment in verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and you in him, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Who enables a true believer in God to see the law of God correctly as to its purpose and its place? The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Amen.
Friends, did Jesus keep the law of God perfectly to earn favor and acceptance with God? Absolute heresy. For what was Jesus able to sinlessly and correctly declare? I always do those things that please him. And he did all these sinless things to display his love. Not only for his heavenly Father, but for those he came to die for and save. Because he knew that those he died for had a warped and an unbalanced view of the purpose and place of the law of God. It takes the light of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to remove the darkness that blinds the hearts of sinners as to the purpose and place of the commandments of the Lord. The legalist and the antinomian, the one who thinks that they can earn heaven by what they do, and the antinomian who thinks that the law has no place in the life of a believer, are both in the dark as to the purpose of the law of God, to display love toward God. Something that the legalist and the antinomian are incapable of doing. As long as they hold on to their incorrect and, dare I say, sinful understanding of the law of God. The saving gospel's teaching on the law is a new commandment, friends, something that Jesus alone gives through his teaching and his example. Dare I say, this is one of the reasons that he so annoyed the lost Pharisees. Mm-hmm. This is why he so annoyed the lost Pharisees. Why do I say this? They prided themselves in keeping the law of God, didn't they? They thought that they were perfect in their keeping. They prided themselves. You read Paul's testimony in Philippians chapter 3, as to according to the law, blameless. They prided themselves in keeping the law of God, but they show they hated it by constantly reinterpreting what it meant. And so Jesus comes along and exposes their misuse and dislike of the law of God, because no legalist loves the law of God, and they hated him. Away with this man. And friends, who knows how many legalists are in the church today?
Too many.
Who many? Too many. Yes. Who knows how many legalists are in the churches today? Because they would be offended. They would be annoyed. They would be angry if you were to tell them the truth that all their righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the presence and sight of God. And friends, they would never use the word that Paul uses to describe all the things he did before he was saved, to describe all the things they are trusting in. Lost, deceived, self-justifying sinners do not look upon all they have done, are doing, and will yet do, unless given new life in Christ, as dung. All my righteousnesses are dung. There isn't a single lost, self-righteous, pharisaical sinner sitting in pews like the ones you're sitting in this morning who would unashamedly say that everything I've done is dung in the sight of God. They'd get offended at that. They'd get angry at that, just as they got angry at Jesus Christ. As long as you continue to look to them and not the finished work of Christ as your only way of acceptance with God, it's all horse manure. But on the opposite end of the unbalanced nature of the human heart in sin, how many think that walking as he walked on this earth is some optional extra? Like getting air conditioning in your car. That's for the super spiritual. Because I've said the prayer. I've walked the aisle. I've signed the decision card. But showing love for the only Savior of sinners, in the way that he showed his love for his sinful people and his heavenly Father, is nowhere seen or desired in their deceived lives. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, that which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Jesus, the light of the world, gives those he died for a correct understanding as to the purpose and place of the law of God. And friends, it can be summed up in one word. It can be summed up in one word. Love. Love. Love to God and love to your fellow man, whether in Adam or in Christ. Jesus showed his love for his Father and those he came to die for by always doing those things that pleased his heavenly Father, even though that meant going all the way to his cross. May the truth of who he is and what he alone could have done and did out of his amazing love be seen in the new commandment he has given to those who love him. What's that new commandment? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus died to save his people from the darkness of their sins in thought, in word, and deed towards not only God, but towards their fellow man. Has the Holy Spirit shone in your heart the truth of who Jesus is, the one given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins? Has he saved you from yours? Then it will be seen in loving both God and man. May that be seen in our lives today. Let us pray. Lord, you call your people to be a loving people. May we show we love you and we love our fellow man, whether in Adam or in Christ, by wanting to follow the example of the one who walked in perfect love towards his Father and towards his people, our beloved Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.